Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Beat. Another ugly win at the weekend could see Arsenal accomplish something rather beautiful on Thursday night. The 2-1 victory over Leeds might not have been a sight for sore eyes, but it was enough to see Mikel Arteta's side open up a four-point gap in fourth place. As luck would have it, a trip to Tottenham is up next. A gorgeous prospect for Arsenal fans could see them seal a Champions League return in their neighbour's backyard. I'm Mark Manbrines from PA Media, and today I'm joined by the charming Charles Watts of Goal.com and The Guardian's alluring Nick Ames to look back on the Leeds win and preview a massive North London derby. Charles, I'll come to you first. Leeds, 2-0 up, 10 minutes gone. We then see their captain get sent off. What led to the struggles, do you think, for Arsenal killing off that game?
Just poor finishing, really. I'm not sure there's much more to it from that. I thought they actually controlled the game really well. You know, sort of before Leeds had scored with that set piece, you're kind of sitting there thinking it's just a training game, really. You know, they weren't in any trouble. Leeds weren't causing any problems on the break. I was kind of thinking back. You remember after it was Watford, wasn't it? The 3-2, and Mikel said in his presser afterwards, he was talking about saying he wished we could have just had 10,000 passes and killed the game off. And that was coming into my mind in that second half against Leeds, because it kind of felt like that's what Arsenal were doing. They were just seeing the game out, almost like they knew they had that game on Thursday night at Tottenham, and they wanted to cruise through, and they were controlling it. They weren't giving up any chances. And then lo and behold, one set piece, as can often be the way, although it hasn't been for Arsenal this season because they've been so good at defending them. And then, you know, Leeds get a goal back and it does get a little bit nervy. But up to that point, I thought they'd actually played fine. That was a great start, controlled it well after that, and then it got nervy after that, and then they had to endure some difficult moments right at the end. But on the whole, I don't think it was, like you called it ugly at the start, I don't think it was that ugly. I thought it was comfortable until that one set piece, and then obviously it all changes a little bit at the end. But on the whole, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that they absolutely deserved to win that game pretty comfortably.
Nick, do you think there's arguably a little bit of misplaced confidence that Arsenal can see these games out by passing it around like they're suddenly Manchester City or a better team? Does that make sense?
Yeah, maybe. It might have been good to see them going a bit more dynamically for the throttle, looking for that third goal in retrospect. But they did have chances. Like Charlie says, I think if I'm thinking off the top of my head, I can count four for Martinelli after it got to 2-0. I think he had one before the end of the first half that Melier saved with a foot. Then he had three shots, I think. One was saved, one over, one wide early in the second half, all from good positions. So while they were putting those passes together, you can't say that they didn't have the chances to finish it off. But this is not a good enough side to stop looking for goals and to stop looking to push on and kill teams off. It's still a side that does, though we see them much less than we used to, have a few ridiculous tendencies to turn, you know, what I agree with Charlie. It was a very good performance generally, and it was never a 2-1 game. Never, never, never. But they do still have these tendencies to turn a cruise into something that becomes a bit more hair-raising. So no, they're not a team that can dial down the tempo or conserve too much energy at this point. But on the other hand, the way they've done things so far has got them a very long way. And as we know, 3 points on Thursday is going to mean there's no arguments about anything that's happened this season.
I think it's just a lack of goals, isn't it? It's the problem with Arsenal, has been all season. It is just they don't have... They have to work very, very hard to score goals. And they just couldn't get that third at the weekend. And it's just been the problem all season. And it will continue to be the problem, you would think, until the summer when they're going to rectify it in the transfer market. And until that happens, they're just not a team who is going to put anyone to the sword, really, because they just don't have that goal threat, certainly in the central areas. I know Eddie obviously got a couple at the weekend, but... You know, they're not a team. You look at Man City, you know, how many times they score five. You look at Liverpool, how many times they score three, four, five. Because they've just got goals from everywhere, and Arsenal just don't have that. And I think that, again, was a problem at the weekend.
It's that similar thing at Spurs, isn't it? Where you've got Kane and Son that you can rely on for goals. You know, Arsenal just don't have that. When you've got Nicola Pepe with his head down, running in straight into a defender in the last minute when he had a chance to, kind of summed it up a little bit, didn't it? But Nick, I suppose we have to look at the positives. But just from my perspective, I think there are a few of those players now in that team, especially the younger guys who are still, you know, they're still the heartbeat of this Arsenal team, and fair play for that. But they do seem to just be coming off their peak a little bit from where we were a couple of months ago, don't they now?
Yeah, I wanted to be good to see a bit more goal output from Martinelli. Obviously, Smith Rowe was obviously in and out of the team and sort of getting minutes here and there. But obviously, we're not seeing the goal return that we had from him in quite a concerted patch earlier in the season. There's a few more examples. I don't think there's much to worry about, though, at the moment, really. I think that last 20 minutes was a concern, but they're still getting through the games, whoever the opposition are. And if you'd have signed up, if you'd have been offered the situation they're in now, in August, every single person, whether it's a diehard Arsenal fan, whether it's somebody who covers them, anything like that, would have bitten your hand off for that. And I don't think there's anyone in such a trough of form that it's a concern. I think every game they're still finding a way to win. They're still finding a match winner, whether it's Eddie Nketiah charging down a goalkeeper with that wonderful energy that he has added up front in the last few weeks, whether it's Rob Holding flicking in the rarest of headers against West Ham. They're still finding a way. And at this point of the season, if you're a team that can find a way, you're okay. I don't think it's the time of year where you all need to be in tandem and in concert and in full flow. I think as long as you've got that ability to find a way through a game and to sniff weaknesses and capitalise on mistakes, which Arsenal are doing, because Leeds made a lot of them in the first half, much as Arsenal played well, then you'll be okay. So I'm not so worried about individual players' form, to be honest. I don't know what Charlie thinks, but...
No, I agree. I certainly think there has been quite a notable dip from some of the players. I think, you know, Bukayo, probably not as influential as he has been for majority of the season. Like I say, the goals have dried up with Smith Rowe. I thought Gabby played really well on Sunday, deserved a goal, but it's just the thing with Martinelli at the moment is you just look at him and think he's got all the tools to be an absolute world beater, but he just needs to get a little bit better in front of goal because he does have chances. Like you said, Nick, I mean, he had a fair few to put that game to bed at the end of the first half and at the start of the second half, he didn't take them. And that's just something, if he wants to sort of go to that next level, Martinelli, it's what he's going to have to add to his game now is his finishing ability, because he gets the chances and he caused defences all sorts of problems, but you've got to stick the ball away when the chance arrives, and it hasn't happened. But the thing with Arsenal at the moment, some of those players may have dipped, but then it's just players out of nowhere who have come in at the crucial stage of the season and, like you said, of helping the team find a way to win. I mean, who would have said a month ago who are going to be the saviours of Arsenal season, Eddie Nketiah and Mohamed Elneny? I mean, it's been an incredible turnaround for the pair of them. Elneny was brilliant at the weekend. Really, really good. And Nketiah, obviously, following up the two goals at Chelsea with another two this weekend, adding that energy, like Nick said, that Arsenal didn't have up front with when Lacazette was there. And you know, the two of them have stepped up when Arteta and the team needed them most. And I think they deserve an awful lot of credit for that, for showing their professionalism. And both of whom are out of contract in the summer as well, just to kind of add to it even more. So full credit to the pair of them.
Yeah, they're very different situations, I think, with Elneny and
Nketiah, aren't they? In the sense that I think if you put a bit of paper in front of Elneny right now, he'd sign it. Whereas we've obviously learned Eddie's turned down a few deals. But if it works for both of them, then it works for Arsenal as well, doesn't it? On Gabby as well, I think Gabriel Martinelli, and this isn't me suddenly saying he's going to end up as good as Cristiano Ronaldo, but he does remind me a bit of that Ronaldo the first time around at United, where he clearly had all the tricks. He was clearly going to be a player. But you look at Ronaldo's goals since he moved to Madrid, for example, or that last couple of years at United, he wasn't that player when he first came to England. It does seem to be that the goals seem to be the last thing that get added to the game. So I think we have to remember sometimes that Martinelli's only 20. It feels like he's been around for years and years, doesn't it? How much credit will Mikel Arteta deserve if he's taken this squad in terms of the threadbare nature of it and the fact that he's got Holding, Elneny and and Ketia as the spine of that team, how much credit will he deserve if he takes them into the Champions League?
Huge credit, absolutely huge credit. I don't think any of us at the start of the season, I can't even remember if we did on this pod or at times our top four, none of us would have had Arsenal in it, would you? Not even near it, even the fact they weren't playing in Europe, which we all thought would probably be a bit of an advantage, and I think it definitely has been. We still wouldn't have picked them above Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Tottenham, United, Leicester even, I'd say. You know, it was just not on the radar. I think top six for me would have been a massive boost this season. To get top four would be incredible and way ahead of schedule, I'd have thought. So I think Arteta deserves big, big credit for that. He's made some big decisions over the last couple of years with, you know, in partnership with the club and Edu. And he's kind of, some of those decisions that he's made, I mean, what manager dumps the top goal scorer and captain halfway through the season when you're chasing the top four and decides to do that and has the willpower to do that? And he did it. And, you know, I think we all thought, maybe not so much actually dumping Orba, but not replacing him in January. It was just a crazy thing to do. And he said at the time, sort of the whole kind of, you know, let's see, judge me at the end of the season. And, you know, they're 90 minutes away from the Champions League. So, yeah, if he goes on to do it, he deserves an awful lot of credit. There's no doubt about it. With the youngest squad in the league, with a real threadbare squad as well, to sort of patch them up, get them through, give them the belief to come back from three straight defeats in the April to then go on and do it, it'd be a hell of an achievement.
Thursday is obviously the big one, but it isn't the be-all and end-all, which I think will be a positive for Arsenal now. They could even go there, lose, and still get a Champions League place. But Nick, going to the home of your nearest rivals, how much confidence will Arsenal take from the fact they've proven in this last month that they can beat the big teams in this league now? Maybe not the biggest, but they can see off United and Chelsea's, and they could add Spurs to that, couldn't they?
Yeah, a lot of confidence, especially from that Chelsea game, I think, regardless of the up and down form of Chelsea, that felt like such a massive result at the time, didn't it? Especially given the results it had come on the back of. And it's probably been the catalyst for what we've seen since as well. I think that was a really important game not to lose, and they went on and won it really well. So no, I think they should be very confident. You never know what you're going to get from Conte's Spurs at the moment, do you? One week, I watch them and I think they've got a real identity here. It's their manager's identity. They're a Conte team. They could be a real threat in a year, in 6 months' time, with the right reinforcements. And I feel very impressed. Other times, they still feel that little bit slow, that little bit laboured, unless someone like Son or Kane is putting something out. Against Liverpool, we saw that, you know, while Klopp might not have liked it, they put their bodies on the line really well, really, really well, and they counter-attack well. So I don't really have a clue which Spurs we will see on Thursday. I doubt Arsenal do. That makes them a dangerous and unpredictable beast. But I think whichever Spurs turns up, Arsenal have shown they can master these situations, have shown that no matter who is playing or who isn't playing, they don't let these big situations get to their heads now. There aren't so many. There was, okay, I'm looking back, and they threw away maybe the Manchester City home game, didn't they, with a moment or two of madness, much as there was a bit of controversy around it, having been the better team. But there haven't been too many games of this season where you think, oh my word, the red mist has come down, they've totally flunked it. So I'm not worried about this group in a derby atmosphere, in a highly charged derby atmosphere, in a derby that is, you know, probably must win for Spurs, and obviously where there's a massive prize ahead of it for Arsenal. I wouldn't want to call the game, really wouldn't want to predict it, but I wouldn't fear for Arsenal too much.
Very much looking forward to watching Charles watch the game through his hands on Thursday night. It's all about timing, this, isn't it, guys? Because Arsenal have lost their first two visits to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium relatively comfortably, I think it's fair to say. But this is the first time there'll be any sort of Arsenal following in that stadium. So what a night it proves to be. But on that same line of thinking as of the timing, Charles, this game should have been played much earlier in the season. Do you think it suits Arsenal that it's now, or would it have been nice to have tucked it and had it away back in January when we should have been watching this North London derby?
I don't know, it's tough to say, isn't it? I mean, Arsenal were obviously in a in a very, very bad position at that point going into the game. You can understand why that had called off. I thought the sort of reaction to it was a bit mental, to be honest, given how many other sides had games called off. Yes, you know, Arsenal absolutely used the rules to their advantage, there's no doubt about that, but the rules were there. The rules have been set. I'm sure Conte, I mean, I don't know when his presser is. Is it? I mean, we're doing this on Tuesday. Is it presser on Wednesday for Conte, same as Arteta?
I think it might be today.
Is it? But I'm sure he's gonna throw a few digs out there about this. It's going to help sort of stir the pot, and it's going to be an incredibly hostile atmosphere on Thursday night. But, you know, Tottenham weren't in a great position back then either. They were missing a few players as well. There wouldn't have been any Son playing for them that day. You know, Kane hadn't really sort of hit the form that he's now hit in the second half of the season. So it's tough to really say when the better time would have been. I mean, for us, for the broadcasters, it's definitely better to play it now. And what it's just kind of, it reminds you, doesn't it, the whatever year it was when Man City Spurs went up against it and Crouch scored the goal that put Tottenham into the Champions League back then. It's going to be like that. And I mean, it's going to be a hell of an occasion. I'm dreading it so much as a fan. I'm not sure how I'm going to get through it, but I mean, it's going to be a cracking game. The atmosphere is going to be mad. And for this young Arsenal team, if they can go there and do it, you sort of look back at Arsenal over the years, their big moments at White Hart Lane, obviously winning the league in 71, winning the league in 2004. I mean, this isn't a league title up for grabs, but for this young team, it could just do so much for them, for their belief going forward. If they could go there and have their big moment at Spurs and get it done, almost like George Graham's team back in the day when they went there and won the League Cup semi-final, and it sort of kicked off the George Graham era after that. And you know, it's going to be massive, and yeah, dreading it and looking forward to it as much. Sort of, I'm changing my mind each time I think about it, which one I'm feeling the most.
Arteta said on Sunday he was looking forward to it. He said quite rightly his team have deserved to go there and have the context that if they win, they get into the Champions League. I don't think many people disagree with that. But Nick, how important will it be for him to play down almost the importance of a win on Thursday night to his players? Because I think you guys are right saying it's a must-win for Spurs, but it isn't for Arsenal, isn't it? And that message has to be put across properly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has to, because look, there's two very winnable games afterwards at Newcastle and Everton. Obviously, you'd rather not put massive pressure on those, but you don't want to go hurtling into Thursday's game thinking it's going to be the end of the world if they come out on the wrong side of it. It's not. And if I was to sit my neck on the line now, I think they'll still get to a Champions League, whatever happens on Thursday, frankly. But obviously, yeah, it's a time for cool heads, not to get too frantic, not to let the lows get too low, definitely, on Thursday. The highs can be very, very high, and then you can celebrate. But don't let the lows get too low if it goes wrong, which it might, because they're still in the box seat. It's an incredible position to be in. And again, if you'd have signed up for A, you can beat Spurs and be in the Champions League with two more games left, or you can lose to Spurs and still be in pole position for it with two games left, every single person bites your hand off. So I think, you know, Arsenal will be highly motivated to go in and get the job done, because no better way to do it, no better place to do it. And it'll be a night the like of which they haven't had for a very, very long time. But if it doesn't happen, still got two very good games left.
Charles, changes to the team, back three potentially, or is that all dependent on the fitness of Ben White?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I think if he had all the options available to him, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he goes back three. You're kind of similar to what he did against Chelsea, really. You know, I think as much as when I asked him after the game on Sunday if Tomiyasu was at left back, was kind of in preparation for Tottenham, he kind of shot it down pretty quickly, but I think deep down, it must have been a bit of a run through for this game on Thursday night. And if Ben White's fit, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see White start at right back almost in that game as well, and kind of just have four centre backs across the defence. And You know, a draw is absolutely not a bad result for Arsenal on Thursday. You don't want to go into a game looking for a draw because it's a bit dangerous, isn't it? That old cliche, but it's not a bad result at all if they can go and get it. And the onus is on Tottenham to attack. And we kind of know when Tottenham so far this season have come up against a team that kind of sits deep and doesn't give them space to play on the counter, they struggle at times. And I think that's probably how Arsenal are going to approach things on Thursday night and then look when they can to keep things tight and then counter and use the pace of Martinelli, Saka, you know, use Odegaard in the middle to pull the strings. And that's how they look to hurt Tottenham. So, yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he does make some changes and sort of strengthens that back line. And I'm not expecting us to see Nuno Tavares start left back, put it that way.
You basically backed him to
channel his inner Tony Pulis there, just play four centre backs along this fence. Nick, we don't do this very often on the pod, but let's take a prediction from you for Thursday night. What do you think is going to happen? I think it's a very unpredictable game, so I won't hold you to this, but if you're looking into a crystal ball now, what do you think might happen?
I'm like Charlie, I change my mind every single time I think about it. And if I say this, it's not because, I mean, look, I think Arsenal are going to get to the Champions League, all right? I've said it, and I think that's going to happen. I think that in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be having a top four pod. I genuinely do. But I think Spurs might edge it on Thursday. That's my current thinking. I still think Arsenal are going to finish above Spurs. But if you're asking what I'm thinking at this very second, I think Spurs really, really need it. They've got that home crowd. They've got a couple of top-class match winners. And I think it's the kind of game where maybe those big players come to the fore and win it. And also they're off the back of a very good performance in result at Liverpool. But if we did this pod in half an hour's time, I'd be saying something different. So,
given that I produce it, I can just go in retrospectively and change all of our answers. I kind of agree. I think it's a cliche, isn't it? But I think the first goal is massive. I think if Tottenham get it, they'll go on and win the game. I think if Arsenal could grab it and have something to hold on to, which they've proven now that they can do, you know, in the past you go, oh, we go 1-0 up and they might still shit their pants. But at the moment, when they go 1-0 up in games, they're proving that they can see it out. So I think if they could get the first goal, it changes that picture massively and could give them a chance. I'm leaning towards a score draw, but I know we're leaving this one the last man with a prediction. So, Charlie, what are we going to see on Thursday night? What are you going to see through your fingers on Thursday night, I should ask?
You are not getting a prediction out of me. we can sit here right now and do it for an hour and a half, and I would not give you one prediction. No chance in hell. I do think it's interesting, looking at Arsenal, when they scored first this season in the Premier League, I think it's 1-20, drawn 1, lost 3. And I think the only game they've come back from a trailing position in the league to win was Wolves. So that shows absolutely the importance of the first goal on Thursday night. I mean, history suggests Arsenal get it, they go on and win that game. If they don't get it, then they're going to go on and get nothing from it. So it's going to be really, really important. But predictions-wise, Nat, I'm going to decline. Just take my seat on this quite nice-looking fence just sitting on the side of me.
To be fair, I'll let you off with that because you basically backed up my point with stats, whereas I was just talking nonsense. But you've ruined the day for all the aggregators that listen to the end of this podcast so that they can't tweet at Charles Watts as predicted. Arsenal are going to win 4-0. But thank you guys for joining me and thank you everyone for listening. Check out our show, which dropped only yesterday, where Molly and our band of women's football experts reviewed Arsenal's WSL season. We'll be back on Friday to look back on the trip to Spurs, see if Nick and I, who, you know, dare to have a prediction, can get it right. And we'll cast a quick eye forward to the Newcastle away game as well. Thanks, everyone.